This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, April 3rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Vilsack farm workers at White House. Ukraine needs seed. CFTC Ag Advisory Group meets Wednesday. Vilsack meets with farm workers. A dozen farm workers, as well as leaders of the United Farm Workers, met at the White House on Friday with Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, Labor Department Solicitor Seema Nanda, and White House Advisor Julie Chavez Rodriguez. Friday was the birthday of Cesar Chavez, who co-founded the forerunner of the UFW. The workers pressed the administration to protect foreign workers from deportation, to provide disaster aid for farm worker communities, and additional funding for the Farm and Food Workers Relief Program, a temporary USDA program created during the COVID-19 pandemic. In a press release, Georgia farm worker Byron Pantoja said the officials, quote, heard about our struggles and what the administration can do to support us. This means not cutting farm worker wages, but rather increasing our pay, enacting workplace protections, providing disaster relief, and ensuring that farm workers are treated with dignity and respect. Ukraine pleads for seed. Without the help of international charity, Ukrainian farmers are expected to plant a lot less spring wheat, soybeans, sunflower, and even corn this year, according to the country's agriculture minister. Seeds are a significant expense, and foreign donations would help convince farmers to plant land that otherwise might lie fallow, the ministry says, citing a survey of Ukrainian farmers showing they plan to reduce their overall planting this year by 21%. Wheat acreage is expected to drop by the most a whopping 51%. According to calculations, seed, depending on sowing culture, accounts for 10 to 15% of the total cost structure, the ministry said in an analysis that places seed as the second highest donation priority for the country's ag sector. Power generators are first. Cost and availability of seed, rather than sensitive factors that impact the farmer's production plan setup, according to the ministry. 71% of farmers surveyed said they would be willing to plant more if they received donated seeds. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. CFTC advisors consider biofuels, shipping. Congress is out for the next 2 weeks, and the D.C. policy agenda is relatively light. However, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission will be meeting with its Agricultural Advisory Committee on Wednesday. There will be sessions on biofuels and ag data, as well as presentation on maritime issues affecting the farm economy. That three-hour meeting also will include remarks by CFTC Chairman Rostin Benham and the other four commissioners, and include a discussion of, quote, geopolitical and sustainability issues, according to the CFTC on Friday. Members represent a cross-section of the ag industry, as well as the USDA's Office of Chief Economist. Ag trade barriers again highlighted in annual USTR report. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative has released its lengthy annual report summarizing international trade barriers blocking U.S. goods and service, and impediments to U.S. ag exports are again a major focus. from onerous approval processes for genetically modified crops in India and Turkey to burdensome and non-transparent import licensing schemes in Ecuador, Egypt, and Indonesia used to block American farm goods, the new 466-page National Trade Estimates Report documents barriers in dozens of countries. One highlight in this year's NTE is Mexico and its new ban on genetically modified white corn. U.S. recently began technical consultations with Mexico, the beginning of a process that could lead to a new dispute resolution panel under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. EV tax credit guidance elicits sharply different reactions. New guidance from the Treasury Department designed to encourage the production of electric vehicles in the U.S. and the sourcing of critical minerals used to make them received praise and criticism on Friday. Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee Chair Joe Manchin, the West Virginia Democrat, said the guidance, quote, issued to comply with provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act, ignores the purpose of the law, which is to bring manufacturing back to America and ensure that we have reliable and secure supply chains. American tax dollars should not be used to support manufacturing jobs overseas, specifically China. But Environment and Public Works Committee Chair Tom Carper, the Delaware Democrat, said Treasury action, quote, will encourage greater investment from American companies to make these vehicles here at home, starting April 18th to get the full $7,500 credit. At least 50% of a vehicle's battery components must be produced or assembled in North America, and 40% of the battery's critical minerals will have to be extracted or processed in the U.S. or in a country that is a U.S. Free Trade Agreement partner or have been recycled in North America. Senators want USDA to protect against misleading food labels. Food labeling of animal raising claims such as humanely raised and sustainably raised may not be accurate, and four senators are pressing USDA to take action to prevent consumers from being misled. In a letter to Sandra Erskine, Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety at USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, Senators Richard Blumenthal, a Connecticut Democrat, Cory Booker, a New Jersey Democrat, Elizabeth Warren, a Massachusetts Democrat, and Sheldon Whitehouse, a Democrat from Rhode Island, expressed concern about the agency's evaluation process and asked whether FSIS plans to strengthen its documentation requirements to ensure standard guidelines across the industry. Under the Federal Meat Inspection Act and Poultry Products Inspection Act, USDA can deny companies the use of labels believed to be false or misleading. An Animal Welfare Institute report cited in the letter found 85% of analyzed animal welfare claims on meat and poultry products lacked adequate substantiation. AWI also said that according to multiple national surveys they've commissioned, most consumers disagree with USDA's practice of allowing conventional producers to define these claims themselves without requiring on-farm evaluation by either the government or an independent third party. Finally, here's today's He Said It. If you are able-bodied, you need to work. That's Senator Mike Braun, Indiana Republican, on this week's AgriPulse Open Mic. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, April 3rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.